Irish dairy exports exceeded €3 billion for the first time last year. But way before anyone thought of recording and analysing our trading figures, Irish butter was sought after in places most people hadn't even heard of, as Mary Russell now tells us.
It's a long stride from Cork to the Caribbean, but in the days when Cork was Ireland's leading maritime port, there were sailing ships regularly crossing the Atlantic with creamy, delicious butter as one of their main cargoes. I came across all this one day in Liberta, a village on the Caribbean island of Antigua. I called into the local shop to get some red stripe, it gets very hot there, and picked up a small metal cylinder marked Irish butter. And that set me on a mission to find out where it had come from. Which is why I recently walked along Washington Street in Cork until I found what I was looking for, Shroydi in Hanover, known in English as Little Hanover Street. It was here that one of the last butter factories was located, and it may even have been the very last one, though my researches show that Cork at one time had many butter factories. And not surprising, since the city lay at the heart of the butter industry. Now, Cork Harbour is very deep and was well placed for keeping an eye on what was coming in from different directions, and so it's no surprise that the British established a naval base here. And way across the Atlantic, they found that the sugar island of Antigua offered something of the same. So perfect was it that they even sent Admiral Horatio Nelson to patrol the waters there. And let's imagine it in the 18th century. Its narrow streets and lanes teeming with activity, firkins of well-salted butter being rolled along the quays to be loaded onto waiting ships. The word had got out that Irish butter was pretty tasty, so that wherever there was a British port or a colony, the order went out, send Irish butter. And in those days, you got what you ordered, for the British system worked well. Butter was checked in, weighed, standardised, barrelled and dispatched, so that 3,000 miles away on Antigua, the plantation owner's wife had some much coveted butter to put on her tea table. The slaves, of course, never saw butter from one end of the year to the next. But what was it that made this butter so desirable? I'll tell you, it was the little black Kerry cow. This lovely creature could graze the long acre, eating whatever was on offer in ditches, up mountain tracks or at the side of the road, and then produce milk that had a singular quality, for the milk of the Kerry cow contained globules of fat smaller than that of most other milkers, and this meant it was easily digestible and therefore perfect for babies and invalids. Once you know the story of Kerry cattle, you'll understand why our greatest epic, the Toinbo Cúilnge, written 2,000 years ago, is so much part of our heritage. In Ireland, it's still all about the cow.
Yes, indeed. Details of Mary Russell's piece that we just heard there are on our website. Some more of your texts. Elizabeth in Cork says, when I was in secondary school in the 1950s, it was always described as the Curragh Mutiny. Well, I did believe in certain the 1970s, and it was still described as the Curragh Mutiny. A couple of texts on St. Patrick. Mary wants to know the title of the book by T.F. O'Rahilly, and it's The Two Patricks. Very, very interesting book indeed. Read it many, many years ago when I was a student. And Eamon O'Flanagan says that as part of An Tostail in 1953, there was a great pageant on the Hill of Tara at the Whit Weekend. Anu McMaster did the voiceover. It was most dramatic, with a fire being lit on the Hill of Screen as night fell. The ancient gods were overthrown and there was a massive cast of extras.